Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Amy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to Footy Prime News and Dubs, your one-stop destination for footy news and dubs. Yeah, that's Amy Walsh. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Hey, Craig.
Hey, it's our final...
Do you like my new last name? Foritz, finally.
Craig Foritz, nice.
Oh,
Foritz, the new nickname.
Amy.
Dub.
Hello.
Bled over, doubled over. Oh, you're not sick, are you?
No, but my daughter is.
Oh, no.
She got the flu?
No, just a cough and a fever, but was up at 4:30 this morning.
Thanks.
And then, simultaneously, upset that she was sick, but then equally as upset that she wouldn't get to go to the last day of school where it's pajama day and fun day. It's the least of my problems at 4:30 a.m., yeah. Kid.
The others won't get any presents either. Oh, well,
oh,
Christmas is canceled.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that here in Fort Erie, every day is pajama day at the local Walmart for sure.
Is it a fashion statement?
It's a thing. Plaid pants, as far as the eye can see.
Hey, that's all kids wear nowadays. Anyway, my kid wears plaid pajama bottoms or whatever. Oh, excuse me, Jesus.
Jeez, you're a disgusting person.
Nowhere. Wow.
He just burped on a podcast.
He usually gives us a warning, right? There's no warning there whatsoever. I'm sorry.
Which what happens as you age. You can't even pause and be aware of it's coming. It just interrupts your sentence.
Same with pissing.
Yeah. Well, Sharps, you didn't tell us you cut a hole in your chair just when that happens when you take a dump.
Exactly.
Oops.
Just easier.
Just falls out of you.
There.
Yeah. It's like a Monty Python pregnancy delivery short skit.
Welcome to the holiday edition of Footy Prime.
Yes. How's your season treating you, everyone? Dubs is here. Miles Davis is here. And Wong is here. And Craig Foritz is here. Hey, everyone. It's our last show. Last show before Christmas.
Before Christmas, yes.
Yeah.
We have an announcement to make.
You were saying it's a last show, and you still said maybe. No, I can promise you we're in no danger of discontinuing, as far as I know. Cancel culture can't get to independent podcasts. That's the beauty.
It's true.
Had we had an association with a network, we would have been canceled by now.
Oh, you think? I think the swearing or the topics?
Both.
You think we couldn't hit these
with
topics?
His coffee cup. He looks like he's on The View.
The what?
You look like you're on The View.
Well, if I am, I'm Joy. You know that.
Yeah. You would be Joy.
You don't bring too much joy to this show on a general basis.
Oh,
but yeah, you're right. What are we talking about?
We were talking about being canceled. I don't think we would be. I think we handle most subjects. Oh, maybe we've stepped over the line. The wizard sleeve.
That's
elbows,
education. That's educational.
Oh, I agree
left
with
ample
you.
Ample room for discussion in the wizard sleeve.
And we have to talk about, there's one string that our friend Amy Walsh Dubs started on Twitter about Craig, and I'm going to read it out loud. Amy says on Twitter, forgiven for the sending off? Absolutely not. Celebrated for the best crop top Canada has ever seen? You bet. And it's a picture of Craig getting sent off. And then our friend Noelle Carbone, she's a writer, suddenly and unexpectedly feeling less gay this morning. And then Brett Lipkiski writes, I'm suddenly and feeling unexpectedly more gay this morning.
And bringing then, out all the feels.
That's right. And then Noel comes back with Craig Forrest thirst trap, finally giving the gays and lesbians something to agree upon.
Can Craig be that bridge that brings them together?
Yes.
I'm happy with that. It's
fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. You're like a politician in the world of sexuality. A bridge builder.
But Debs, it wasn't a crop top. Every t-shirt fit Craig like that.
Because it was too much. Yeah.
It was just a normal t-shirt.
He was a husky voice.
I was horrified.
What would you like? I'd like husky, please. Cheapestly.
It was great. Well, you hear my...
I was happy.
Yeah, I know you were, but I was so disappointed. You hear my glee when we're watching in that video on the pod last time, and I was like, oh my God, Forrest, is that a crop top? And then it kind of rolls down because it just kind of come up as you took off your keeper kit, and I was like, oh, it's too bad.
Yeah. I was more worried about amazing. That.
That's just how big your torso is. It has to unfurl to get down to the bottom.
Right.
Dropping the curtain.
Craig, why do you wear like a shirt underneath your shirt? Is just to wick the sweat away? That's the reason for it generally, isn't it?
Yeah, you just get comfortable with it. I actually had a sweater, a pretty late sweater, that I wore the very first game I played when I was 12, and I wore it until I was in my 30s every single game in the until I just basically was just a piece of string. But I wore it every single game from 12 until I was in my 30s.
So was it massive on you at 12 or tiny on you at 30?
Good question. But the fleece ran out on it.
It's just that flat kind of bubble, a few bubbles here and there, was it?
Yeah, yeah.
That thing like must have been able to like get up and walk away on its own. Like that thing must have reeked.
Well, I did wash it.
I know, but... I had shirts like that too, where that you washed them and you wore them and they got that thin, really comfy way, except they would smell clean when they'd come out of the wash. But as soon as you'd sweat, it was like it hadn't been washed at all. So that thing had its own kind of stench.
You talk about women's odors?
I'm talking about people odors for it.
Odor is odor though, really.
Yeah.
You can like malinger. In the fabric deep down, right?
You and you
give it a good malinga or no linger. Linger. What's malinga?
I don't know.
Right, it's back for Croatia. I don't know.
Do you have to let it malinger?
Well played.
But from a point, why is that? Like when because you give your certain laundry a good. I smells good enough. And then by midday, like, holy shit, where did that come from?
I don't have that problem. I always smell like a mix of your favorite Chinese food. and something you want to snuggle with because I'm hairless. So whatever those smells are. That's what it is.
Something you want to snuggle with.
I have nothing to say.
That's my charm.
Like snuggling, spooning a seal.
That's right.
It sounds like
hairless mole. I'm a hairless mole man. I've been at the zoo for a 6 month run.
It's the little. Is it fabric softener? And it's got a cuddly, cute bear. In the commercials, that's Wonger, but the bear smells like Chinese food.
It's a panda.
Yes.
Could be worse. Merry Christmas.
Could be worse smells, yeah. Could be worse smells. Jimmy, by the way, people are asking, Jimmy is fine. He's just otherwise engaged this week.
Yeah.
He's working hard, but he'll return very shortly, probably in time for the next podcast.
And hopefully he'll share a picture of a new V-neck he's bought.
Yes.
Right.
Because we know he's bought one.
Yep.
Wherever in the world he may be.
Yep.
He has definitely bought another V-neck. But yeah, it's our last pre-Christmas podcast amidst the business of the Christmas schedule. We thought today we could just look back on the year that was. We could do it next week, I suppose, as well, before New Year's. but I've got nothing else prepared, so we better do this. We can continue it next week. Maybe the listeners can chime in with their moments of 2020.
Ooh, that's good. Like, moments. This could be a part two. Could be a part two.
Yeah. So this could be frustrating, could be annoying to me personally, because I put it out there on the dark web. Not a moment, not events or, you know, what you remember from the year or highlights, moments that you'll recall when looking back on 2023. Dubs had a lot of fun on the dark web, annoying me.
So you mean like this game or that game?
Such a dick.
No. Oh my God.
The World Cup was terrific.
Yeah, that stands out to me. Now, moments. So who wants to start with their first moment that kind of defines the year? Craig, I trust Craig here. Craig, what's one moment that kind of defines the football year for you?
One moment. Are we going, like, does the World Cup, does that account?
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
I'll give you my moment, Charms, because I did.
Thank you.
Mine is Canada's total collapse at the World Cup, and the moment is, or not the World Cup, sorry, the qualifying for Copa. And it's the upsie, Milan doing the upsies, and then moving into kicking the ball, and then I think Kone losing it, and then Jamaica coming down and scoring within 35 to 40 seconds.
There, see, that's what I'm talking moment. About. That's what I'm talking about. The moment is Boyan's.
That's my microcosm right there of the year.
I love that. And that jumps out to you. That defines the year. Why exactly?
Well, you know what? I'm a Canada backer for sports all across. So I love the Prem and I'm getting into it. But when I think of soccer and football, I think Canada first. It's just the way my heart and brain go right now. Kiss us. And pardon me?
Kiss us.
Yeah, I'm a kiss us. But that's one of my moments. I was like, wow, that was, you know, that kind of wraps up how I felt Canada soccer was heading. That, you know, up winning 1-0 or 1-0 and then falling apart quickly. That's how I feel.
It was a shit year, let's be honest, internationally for Canada, men and women. Okay, now I know women had the nice moments with Christine Sinclair. They had some hope with the Olympic qualification. But let's be honest, it's defined by that World Cup performance. And I'm sure there's a moment within that tournament Dubs can recall that personified her experience at that World Cup, of which you worked very hard and did a great job. But I'm sure there's a moment within that tournament that really symbolizes what a shit year it was internationally on the pitch and off the pitch for Canadian soccer. Dubs?
For me, it's a tie. And it's along the same lines as Wonger, with glass decidedly half empty. And it's Christine Sinclair missing that penalty against Nigeria. I think that summed up the absolute shit hand that the team was dealt in their preparation for the World Cup. I mean, you forget, or at least I did. You think about the year and you get a little bit of perspective on it. The year began, 2023, with Jason DeVos basically floating bankruptcy, right? Saying that they were going to be pulling the funding on the women in advance of the World Cup, hamstringing their preparation. The She Believes Cup and the labor dispute, playing under duress, playing under protest, wearing the Enough is Enough purple t-shirts.
Enough is enough is enough, my baby. Sorry, that was a song.
Just ruining all of it.
No,
I liked
good.
Your song. I liked your song anyway. And then I think the depths and, like, you know, looking at the year and the redemption arc that they went on to then qualify for Paris 2024, and the way it ended, honoring Christine Sinclair in front of almost 50,000 people at BC Place. But that was the lowest of low points. Was not necessarily that moment where Christine missed that penalty, but I think that could have swung the momentum. I don't think it would have changed their fate, but I think it summed up that World Cup experience for that team, where you think you have the person that you want to be taking that spot kick in the moment that matters the most, and then doesn't hit it properly. Ndozi comes up with an unbelievable save, because you do have to give her credit for that stop, but she should have converted. And I think that summed up the year for Canada. But I think the wider discussion is the 32 team Women's World Cup, how exciting it was, how skillful it was, how there were a number of breakout stars, Miyazawa for Japan, Paraluelo for Spain, Linda Caicedo for Colombia, and the list goes on and on and on. And the type of football that was played, the different types of tactical approaches, and the clashes with teams, you know, like Haiti upsetting or taking bigger, you know, giants of the game to task, or really holding them to score lines that you wouldn't expect. So I think an extremely watchable Women's World Cup, and it just bodes well for the future. So I think that's the greater narrative, is that women's football has kind of arrived, I think, globally, but then undercut by Vilda and Rubiales is also the subtext to all of that.
Craig, jumping in.
Yeah, no, those are good points as well with the World Cup. I really enjoyed the Women's World Cup. I was very surprised because I thought it was a little bit early to jump to 32 teams World Cup, but I was pleasantly surprised by that. But I mean, talk about the Canadians' preparation for that. I mean, nobody had a more difficult time than the Spanish, and they ended up winning the whole thing. So there is that. But really, for me, one of the biggest things, and I don't think I'd expected it, was just the timing of the closing out of Christine Sinclair's career and Sophie Schmidt and Aaron McLeod at BC Place. I'll remember that for an awful long time because it's just something we just very rarely have the opportunity to do, is celebrate the sport, celebrate an individual or individuals that have done such a fantastic job for our country and served our national team brilliantly. I think that'll be the highlight that I remember from this year.
Sorry, Sharms, what I talked about the beginning of the year, you know, the CSA kind of bumbling, just cocking things up as usual, not giving the women what they needed in order to be properly prepared for that World Cup, but then doing things right and doing things very, very well for five consecutive sellouts at the end of the year, if you include that BMO Field sort of crucial performance against Jamaica to clinch the qualifications for Paris 2024. So well done to Canada Soccer. And kind of the redemption arc for them, as it were, and long may it continue, or may it continue into, at least into 2024.
Yeah, well, I suppose it's a good point.
Both of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, ending the year from Canada Soccer perspective, yes, that was fantastic. At the same time, still waiting to hear about this General Secretary announcement that's supposed to be in December, and still might be, who that leader is going to be.
I have an announcement. Crucial. I'm going to be the new General Secretary.
I believe there's four candidates. four finalists, so to speak. So that's going to be absolutely critical because, listen, once again, although it went quiet in the second half of the year off the pitch, which is a good thing, I think Jason DeVos's main job probably was to kind of calm things down, quieten things down. There's been no, I mean, I say this now, and who knows, there could be an article coming out of tsn.ca anytime now, you know, from the players ripping Canada Soccer for something. It could happen. But it's gone pretty quiet there because earlier in the year, you're right, that was noisy. And you mentioned the Jason DeVos bankruptcy bomb that went off, which he later, even on our show, said, listen, I made a mistake there. I shouldn't have used that. We're not close to bankruptcy, but I'm just doing due diligence here, seeing what are all the options, which is fair enough, I think. But that was a big thing. And I'm with you with the World Cup. And the preparation for both teams, you know, off the pitch, labor-wise, it wasn't great. But we do need to acknowledge also that, you know, Canada, they did decide not to have farewell games in Canada, right? That was the team's decision to get to Australia earlier. I think that wasn't spoken about very much, that they could have played games. There were stadiums available. There were fixtures available. They said, no, we'd rather go to Australia early, which, again, makes a lot of sense. So not to condone the bullshit off the pitch and how they've messed a lot of things up, but I think sometimes you need to acknowledge that as well. That goes very quiet because they were hammered. The Canada Soccer was hammered. Where are the farewell games? This is ridiculous. This is our team. This is Christine Sinclair. Maybe her last games on Canadian soil. It turns out it wasn't, but we should mention that, I think. That moment for me is snapped forever of Cincy coming out onto the training pitch with Sophie Schmidt's shirt on, and everyone else is wearing sink shirts. I thought that was brilliant.
You said Cincy.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
Did I really?
Yeah.
But wait, I doubled down with sink afterwards. Did I say Cincy?
Okay. You did.
You know what? Every time I say that, and you call me out on it, I'm going to say one word. Ancelotti, okay?
Yeah, okay. That's fair.
Okay.
Yep.
You're going to say bruschetta, aren't you?
And also, can I mention, and we've mentioned this briefly in the previous pod, Steve Nash also called her Cincy.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Me and Stevie Nash.
Hall of Fame.
Solidarity.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, that was a great moment.
Yourself
as well.
Feel better.
Yeah, I am. You know, what it is with that whole thing? Because it's okay making the odd mistake here and there, or, you know, but I said it for fucking years and no one called me on it until you.
I'm actually surprised you guys asked me to join the pod, since my first appearance, basically the first thing that I said was to correct you on your pronunciation of stinky.
I barely even knew you back then as well.
It's a miracle I'm here, you guys.
A moment for me in that World Cup was also the Caicedo goal against Germany. It was just ridiculous, that goal. And her whole story, I knew nothing about her, to be honest with you, before the tournament. Coming back from cancer, playing at every level of World Cup within a year, wasn't it? Or close to? Mm-hmm. It was just an amazing story, right? And just the talent that she had. And that goal, when she did that dipsy doodle in the box and just went far post, curled it in. Oh, my God. It was something really special. Mm. I chose that as my moment of the World Cup, as opposed to the Jenny Hermoso Rubiales kiss, which just, you know, pissed all over it, obviously. I'm trying to be somewhat positive here, but they were kind of my moments from that World Cup, which kind of highlighted the year, I think, in many ways in the football calendar. The Gold Cup didn't, certainly, that's for sure.
Well, the other goal that stood out for me, and it wasn't the actual goal, it was that we got to talk about the goal on this podcast, was the vagina goal. That goal still, that led to a lot of good content. So you know what I'm about. I'm about
content?
Media. Yeah.
I said content. Sorry, I just misheard you.
I said
OnlyFans content.
I said Cincy. I said content.
I was trying to be vulgar there. Come on.
I know you were.
Yeah, well, that was some going, and hearing about Dubs's experiences with
exactly.
a goal in her career.
Yep.
Yeah, Craig
Everyone's
never scored
done it.
Scored.
Yeah.
But all Craig talked about making cock saves, didn't he?
Did you ever make a cock save? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure. I guess not.
No, we're waiting. Craig, we're waiting for you to jump in and say, no, I never made a cock save.
Well, I made a few of them and a couple ball ones too.
I remember distinctly you talking about the difference between getting it directly on the knob and then in the balls, and then the different feeling.
That's right.
Yes. Thank you for that precise, you know, distinction.
That's why I had a pause, because I was just thinking about the different types of pain.
Yeah. I think you couldn't see your hands.
Admitted
either. That the knob end save was more painful than the ball save, didn't you?
Yes.
Well, not more, but it's different, and it's...
It is different.
Yeah, it's pretty painful.
I'm just trying
it's
to get
It's more
ahead.
Of a stinging straight-away pain, right? As opposed to that lingering ball pain that comes... You know, it's coming. It could be five, 6 seconds away, but when it comes, it drops you.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you try and pee, the pain comes back again, so you're, like, yelling in the bathroom. Everybody thinks you're crazy, which is true.
No, yeah, Craig, that would be the gonorrhea.
Oh,
we can only hope. It's just gonorrhea.
Yeah. Less painful.
My favorite goal of that World Cup was Marta Cox's goal. I thought of Cox, given the discussion that we're having. Do you remember that free kick?
Yes.
Really early on in the game for Panama. You need to look it up. Anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about, just Google it. Marta Cox. Martha, I think. Martha. Anyway.
Oh, get it right. Martha.
Sorry.
Big difference, Dubs. Jesus
That's
Christ.
That's right.
Be professional.
But she's from like 30 yards out and just smashes it and over the wall, and it kind of moves, got some movement on it, and then hits the top left corner. It's unbelievable.
So Cox,
that was the goal of the tournament for me.
Hmm. Actually, you know what? Let me ask you a little bit of trivia here, Dubs.
Okay.
Do you remember who where is it here? Give me a moment here. Okay, the awards for the Women's World Cup. Who won the Golden Boot
who did win the Golden Boot. I think it was down to Miyazawa and who else?
You don't need to find anyone else because she won it.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Crushed that. Japan's Hinata Miyazawa. Who got the best player of the World Cup?
Bon Mati.
Yep. Who got the best young player?
Salma Paraluelo.
Okay. And who won the best goalkeeper? She won an award this week. Yeah. Mary Earps.
Sueri Mary, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Joey Botton wasn't happy about her winning that at the World Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, him and his 100 for 100.
The other year.
What is with that dude? He's off his kilter.
He's the worst. Let's not talk about him.
Well, I have to because what he threw out was I would score 100 for 100, right? And Craig on our dark web, Craig goes, no way. And so I'm just thinking, there's 100 for 100. How good would you have to be as a penalty taker to score 100 for 100? That's almost impossible, isn't it? Just in general?
Yeah, I would think. I think that he'd have a hard time hitting the target 100 out of 100 times. Mm. Joey Barton would. I saw somebody, and I don't follow him, mute him. I try not to get... I don't even want to be aware of the types of discussions he's having, but because of somebody I follow posted something related to that 100 out of 100, they said that for charity, they should get some sponsors. And for every save, they should donate X amount to like a women's charity for every time he misses. Like, you know, just put an amount on every single possibility and raise a bunch of money. But he would never do it.
No, you know, he might, though. He's just thirsting for the attention, right?
He's right. Mr. Attention right now.
And that's the problem. I don't think you need... Yeah. I mean, it's a great... I love the idea. If it was playful originally, but it doesn't come from a place of you know, joviality. This is a place of, like, there's some deep-seated disdain here, I think.
Oh, yeah. Like. Real hatred. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think you're right. You don't give him the attention.
Mm-hmm. Which we just did. I apologize.
Yeah, I know. We should do that, though. We should do that. 100 for 100.
Yeah.
Get a camera out. And
There's no way we're going to ever do this.
It'd be hard to score on old Craig Foritz.
It would, even one.
Yep.
It's fucking huge.
Mm-hmm. I remember back in the early 2000s, it might have been the 2002 World Cup, maybe 2000 Euro. We did that thing, you know, with the armchair fan situation where how do you possibly miss a net that's big and a penalty, blah, blah, blah. So we're at TSN and TSN got one of their employees, Corey O'Hanley, his name was, who I know very well, great friend. He brought the cameras out and he was going to take 10 penalties and see how many he could score. So he could strike the first one. He struck really well, went over the bars. I was like, oh, he struck it well enough. Like, if you can strike it well enough, you're going to score a fair few. Well, the next six go over the bar, like every single one of them, over the bar, over the bar, over the bar. We got to like ninth or 10th penalty, and I was trying to teach him to keep the ball down because he can't fucking hit the target.
So did he score on you at all?
Well, in the end, we let him score one. I told him, I said, I'm going to dive to the right. You hit it to my left. Like, so you can at least get one out of 10. And we had to like do 10 takes for that.
So he was really, he was one for 20.
Oh, he just kept skying it over the bar, which he just could not keep it down.
But you know what? Striking the ball, and I'm not talking about finessing it or doing anything, you know, really technical outside of your boot, but just striking through, whether it's with the inside of your foot or with your laces, is a skill that is underrated by the armchair fan.
And clearly,
you know, you can see that, you know what, like the halftime stuff, and actually it should be said Liga MX runs some hilarious halftime stuff with their fans. And it usually involves, you know, spinning around and then trying to put home a penalty at the end, right? And people just can't strike a ball properly. My nephew, Ethan, is 23 now. And he's like, oh, I'm a big soccer guy. And he grew up, he played all kinds of sports, mostly played hockey. And he was talking to me, he's like, I can't do any lifties, Aim. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I can't lift the ball. I'm like, so you're playing goalie in like garage soccer and your distribution is shite. And he's like, I can't get it off the ground. So I was like coaching him through it. I'm like, lock your ankle, strike the middle of the ball and lean your trunk back. Like just those three things, don't worry about it. And he's like, I got no foot talent. I was like, foot talent? it killed me. I'm like, that is not soccer lingo. Nobody says foot talent. I said, but I might steal it. I might use it now. Foot talent.
I'm kind of turned on right now. I'm feeling a little aroused after that conversation.
Not a fetish. But it's just like golf, right? A golf swing, isn't it? It's that body head position. It makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of foot talent.
Oh, here's the Marta Cox goal. Well, he had a bit of Craig's Wi-Fi there, I think. Unless we missed the actual strike. Here it is. Okay.
Beauty.
It's a lovely one. It gets so high, right? I mean,
Unstoppable.
And I think the factor that we have, which is behind the net, it doesn't really give you the distance. Like it makes it look like it's closer than it actually was. And I think it was a good 30 yards out.
Mm. Yeah. Amazing. Well, you know, the clip that we showed of Craig taking down the Honduras player had about 25,000 impressions on Twitter. But what was interesting, we stole that copyright and we were talking about who owns that copyright. And Richard Scott, who we spoke about earlier, said, well, the rights holder right now is One Soccer of that copyright because it's Canada Soccer.
Yeah.
So we're waiting for our One Soccer call saying, take that clip down.
Maybe they should have us back.
They wouldn't dare. Take that clip down.
I know a couple of other networks that would demand it gets taken down, but I don't think One Soccer would.
Yeah. How does it even work? Do they complain to Twitter X or do they?
They come to us directly.
Twitter X. It's like Twitter's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Well, it is. It's their porn site, which it already is. Yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll come to us directly. But Twitter, happens all the time with the Prem, right? You put Prem League. If we put a Prem League highlight up, we've
done that before. Different. That's different.
Flag straight away.
Yeah, because they have, just so people understand, there's a pixel that goes into the video. And that's how it can be found on all of these platforms. So there easily can, it just like if your pixel plays, it gets automatically taken down. It's an algorithm. With the clip we showed, it was off of YouTube, turned into a video clip. So it would have no pixel because they didn't exist back then. And then we took it. So just telling One Soccer, they'd have to call me or Sharms or mm-hmm. Dubs or JC because we've got the keys to Twitter.
Yeah. Into our next negotiation. How about that?
That's right. That's right.
Hold it over their head. So we got some video we might start playing.
That's how we start our negotiation.
Straight away.
A video ransom.
Yeah, exactly. That's the Footy Prime way to negotiate deals with networks. Just become pricks off the hop straight away. We show up late to the meeting for starters.
Perfect. Great idea.
Roll in then before they can even say hello. Set out the pixel in the video.
I also wanted to say another moment from this year that stands out to me is Jimmy Stye.
It was a huge part of the show. It gave us
so much material. God bless Jimmy Stye.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, that had a great run right through the One Soccer run.
Yeah.
And it's still running.
Yeah.
Like literally, it's still running.
It's still there.
Maybe that's where he is. Maybe he's going to get it removed.
Ooh.
That's right.
He's going to have some
hopefully the coaching course can sort this out.
He's going to come back and he's going to be all be all puffed. Right?
Yeah. He's going to come back from that coaching course with two styes for sure.
No, you're saying Dubs is saying he's coming back with like fully tucked, his ears pulled back. It's not his face, it's just the sty that will be tighter.
The face is hiding behind the sty.
Yes. It'll have a little tighter face. Just a little sty.
The sty is wearing lipstick. It's got a little headband.
With a beautiful V-neck.
And then it's got a contract.
With the sty.
It's got a new contract. The wives of Beverly Hills. It's got a new contract. The sty.
Rhonda Brownlee, you've got another task. She must hate us. She goes, for Christ's sake, more work for me today.
You see that great work that she did?
That'll stand out.
Hannibal Lecter?
Yeah.
Oh, it was incredible.
Oh, like, so
within
good.
About an hour of the pod yeah. dropping, she did it. Yeah, amazing. Also, the comparison picture of Craig and that his shirt, and then beside you, I guess, lining up for an anthem or something, Dubs, in your Canadian gear, mm-hmm. and how massive the gear was, how massive the shorts were, but even the shirt and how you had to tuck it in to your sports bra, right?
I had it
right?
tucked underneath my sports bra.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, I know.
There, I saw that picture. Was there tape involved too, Dubs? Or was that just all sports bra?
On the shirt?
No, like I thought you might have like tightened it with a tape underneath. You know how football guys or hockey guys, they use tape sometimes to make their jersey tighter? Did you ever get in that zone?
No.
Okay.
No, it was just all about the tuck.
That's so
it
dumb.
It was beyond any tucking. I was going to have a little bit of fun with it, but I felt so bad because it's like the women had to put up with. They're wearing men's gear. And I think it was Carlo Corazine, for men's player, that you were wearing because he had a larger ass. And I think that...
A giant shit locker.
Yeah. His ass is wiping out his footprints.
No, but I mean, I understood that in that era, obviously you wore baggier shirts and shorts, but that was, I mean, it must have been a size large and you're tiny, right?
Well, I wasn't tiny, but I think what I mentioned to Forrest is that it was big on me and I'm 5'8" and I was, you know, say my playing weight was closer to 140. So I was kind of not the biggest, but near that end of the spectrum. And then there are girls that I played with on the team, like Izzy Morneau, Izzy Harvey, even, you know, lots of other players who were really slim, but really small in stature, you know, like 5'3 or 5'4. Can you imagine D wearing that? Like that picture is like 2001, I think. So that's pre-Diana, her era. But I mean, things didn't get much better soon after that. It still took a while. So of course it's going to affect your performance.
Well, Dubs, it's come a long way because, I mean, look at the most recent World Cup. You get beautiful new designer shirts. You know, the men didn't, did they? So, you know, you've...
Oh, my God.
Turn the corner.
chime in with that.
That corner's
right?
been turned, Craig.
That's usually what Jimmy chimes in with.
How come the men don't fucking get it?
Like, oh, my God. Can you let us have this, please?
No.
Yeah, true true equality means you don't get anything that we don't get.
Yeah, listen. Equal pay, equal shirts. Come on.
Look, you're a woman on a male podcast and you're saying shit locker. Be happy where you're at. Be grateful, lady.
That's another thing, though, about this year is like joining this podcast, getting a chance to hang out with you guys and chat and commiserate. Is fabulous, and I thank you for it. But I also thank you for the opportunity to start the broadcast. That's been really fun, and it's a place where I not only can talk more about, well, I mean, I obviously talk about women's issues here. That doesn't stop me. But, you know, a place to really devote to women's football, which is important because there aren't a lot of places, not a lot of voices, not a lot of platforms in Canada to talk about women's soccer.
We're kind of prolific, aren't we, Dubs?
Yeah, fucking right.
There you go. Hey, people, we joke about it, but we are kind of inclusive.
Yeah, yeah. And so all the women out there, you know, you're welcome. Yeah. Oh, yes, a lot.
It's all the work 25 has done.
One of us is single too, ladies. And so if you want a progressive man with a long torso, he's right here for you, waiting. All right? Amy, you're really sick. You're muted your mic, but you're laughing hard. And just let
I'm
that.
Sorry. I didn't want anyone to hear me blowing my nose, but yeah, I was howling there.
So people can't see this, but Dubs has for her name today is doubled over, but I read it as dub-bled over.
Oh,
sure. And I was like talking about women's issues. Once again,
you're one of those podcasts, isn't it? Again, yes. Jesus.
Keep it there long enough and it'll apply. Just keep it there as I'm screaming.
This month, it's in a week and a half, right? Your app says.
Yeah, I'm like, let me see. No, I haven't gotten the alert yet.
We do this
probably
so
just
much.
In time for Christmas.
Perfect. We've all, you know, done this pod so often that we've all synced our cycles anyway. So we all know exactly. All right. Other moments of the year. Craig, do you have any more you can think of?
No.
I only gave you 24 hours notice. So I understand why.
Yeah, I've been super leaking it.
And I'm not sure if it was this year, but I'll also just about the podcast was Jimmy saying how many goals Haaland was going to score last. Yes. I think I was like that was, I think he stopped around 13, 14. He was going to say,
but that would have been 2022 though.
Well, I don't know if it was because it could have been because Haaland was on a roll into Christmas. And then it could have been in the new year that we said, hey, how many do you think? So we'll have to look in the archives, but it's
the
definitely
joke did bleed over, so to speak.
Yes, exactly.
Year.
It was. It yes.
Well, you know, when he broke that, the Shearer, was it Shearer and Wright? Their record, right? That was a moment, wasn't it? He hit 36 in the season in the end, which is incredible. But part of me was a little bit disappointed he didn't hit 40 or 50, because there was a time there early in the season where we're thinking, this guy could hit 50 goals, just did the 36, and it felt he could have done better. How unfair is that?
It's completely unfair. You become numb to it, right?
You do.
That bar keeps getting lifted up, and your expectations do as well. And then when he doesn't score, you're like, "Come on, Haaland, let's go."
Yeah, Craig, as someone that's faced the best of the best in the Premier League, I mean, when you hear that a player scored 36 goals in his first year, we should remember in the Premier League, his first year. I mean, you probably have a different perspective than the rest of us who haven't actually faced Premier League strikers.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's amazing because, you know, facing the likes of Shearer as many times as I did, and, you know, overall, I would say he's the best striker I've played against, I guess, in the Premier League, although there was other ones, brilliant players, Viali, Zola, I played against and played with, and fantastic strikers. Klinsmann was in there. He scored against me. Andy Cole. I mean, everybody scored against me, really.
You were there for a long time.
Yeah.
A very long time.
You made Beckham a man.
Yes, yeah. There's a moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's
Craig Forrest.
Golden balls or singular.
Mm-hmm. Golden ball.
Made Beckham a man. There is that. That should be my highlight of the year right there. That's
for sure it is.
I was going to say you're going to be a Bond villain. Golden ball.
He's got the cat.
That's right. He's got two cats.
Two cats, yeah.
Yeah.
We should, for those that didn't hear that podcast, we were talking about the Beckham documentary series, which is just fantastic. I forget, what was it? So you conceded a goal to Beckham. What one was it, Craig? And then Posh said that was the making of...
It was a moment that David turned into a man, went from a boy to a man.
Right. And why was that again? Was it post 98 World Cup? Was that what it was?
It was, yeah.
Right. And all the abuse you've been taking, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Craig, the Beckhams owe a lot to Craig Forrest. A lot. And one day they'll reward him, I'm sure. That's a good moment then. That's a good moment. Speaking of Beckham, when the emotion that he was showing when Messi was unveiled in Miami, that really stood out to me as well. That whole announcement was just really something that was quite powerful, seeing Messi coming over to North America and just what it took that organization to get him, and the look on Beckham's face. And then a week later, Messi makes his debut, and true to form, dying embers of the game, a dead ball from outside the box, and boom, he scores to beat Cruz Azul. Was it a win or a draw? I forget now. Regardless, it was an incredible moment, right? And Messi once again becoming the face of football. What? Just a few months after he was the face of football at the World Cup, and everyone had written him off prior to that.
The old League's Cup, way to go.
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, I thought you were also, when you were talking about him, I thought you were going to go, and going into our dark web, Craig had some choice words about the League's Cup and Messi in Miami. What did you say, Craig? You could share this. Like you were saying, if Miami doesn't build their squad, Miami will, because you were talking about TFC should have been relegated the last three seasons. But I'll let you go on about Miami.
Well, if they don't improve themselves defensively, they might make the playoffs. I think they would, but I don't think they're going to be absolutely brilliant. Looks like Suarez is on his way to Miami, which is interesting.
I was just going to say, yeah.
But they got to shore up the defensive side of things. They just leak way too many goals.
Yeah, but that couldn't have gone any better for MLS, right? The way that they structured that contract for Messi in order to get him over, I think everybody thought he was going to end up in Saudi Arabia. I certainly did. So I was really pleased to see him come to MLS. Mm-hmm. And that's been huge for the league.
It's great football over here.
Yeah, but I think it's up to MLS now, and USSF has said now that they are not going to let them pull out of the US Open Cup. Obviously stemming from a hard listen they took to our pod the other day and really took our advice to heart, right?
Yep.
You know, and what it means for the development and what they're going to do to further the game, because that is why MLS was started. And we've talked about how Canadians get pushed out of MLS in terms of development or seeing players on after careers and moving them on to front office positions or technical staff and things like that. It's very insular in a way, in the way that they promote Americans. And so this, to me, is a way where they can reconcile growing the game, making it more global, especially their brand. When you look at Inter Miami, that is what they're focused on. Yeah, Forrest, they need to shore up their defense, but that is an afterthought. They're thinking about their brand first and foremost. But I think MLS is very much on that path. And now it's about reconciling development, what it means for their grassroots, what it means for their pipeline, and also what it means for the global growth of MLS as a brand, not just Inter Miami.
100%. It's exciting times. And Messi will be coming to Toronto on the last day of the season, decision day.
Right.
What,
right.
2 days before he goes off for a World Cup qualifier for Argentina. Well, you never know. Maybe they've been clinging on and fighting and there's been issues defensively and they've got to win that game to make the playoffs. It's a huge game. Maybe. Unlikely. He's not coming to Toronto. Mm. He isn't.
And Montreal, May 11th.
Again, though, international window Montreal. Then as well, right?
Is there? I don't think there is.
No, it's not.
No, you're fucking with me. I was like, there's no window there. James.
Use my name. How offensive. How dare you use my name?
James.
Another moment is, and I know this is a weird one, might not be a weird one, but it's just even the interview with Players Only Voice for John Herdman, where he spoke about not going to the World Cup and his sister's passing. And that sticks out to me because it's a big, it hits all the things that we always want to talk about, mental health, how people bounce back from things, navigating life. And it's a big moment, and that John has this opportunity at TFC is really hopefully going to be a good thing for not only the city, TFC and MLS, but for John Herdman himself and his healing. Mm. Right. And grieving.
Herdman dominated several moments this year.
Jesus Christ, he did. Yeah.
It started off early in the year when I woke up and Twitter Jesus is Christ. A frenzy over New Zealand.
Right? Three more days, Wonger. Three more days. Okay.
Sorry. The New Zealand rumor jumping across the media world, right? Like, what has happened in there? And they're pouring water all over that. We had Nick Bontis on our show denying it and yada, yada, yada. It did happen.
My hair is still blown back from that interview.
You're on the fan cast.
My God.
Herdman then a few months later, Herdman, he quits Canada Soccer. He joins TFC. And then the interview, I mean, for a coach that didn't coach that much this year, overall, I mean, okay, Gold Cup, Nations League round one, you know, back early in the year, which didn't turn out too well. He certainly bossed the Canadian soccer narrative, didn't he, in many ways?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll continue to, I think, next year. Fascinating year next year. I mean, I didn't put any moments for TFC because there weren't any good moments. Even Montreal, we thought there, Dubs, it was going so well there for much of the season. Didn't end so well. Vancouver was the one that flew the flag so well for Canada. Mm-hmm. But again, didn't have a deep run in the playoffs. But
their coach losing his shit. Team,
that was
the
a
coach
moment.
Losing their shit. That was a moment.
That's right. Suspended for 6 games, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yep.
Finding that official face down in False Creek. Not good, Vanny. Probably don't want to be saying that out loud. Save that for the dark web.
The white caps dark web. Yeah.
That's right. But no, CF Montreal, there should be an announcement imminently. I don't have any inside stuff, but there's been stuff on socials that reporters have posted about. So hopefully today, they said it would be before Christmas. So today would be the day. But another moment, you know, not to drag this out, but for TFC is Michael Bradley retiring. I think in a season that was by and large massively disappointing and a huge letdown, I think that was a bright spot that they honored him. But I mean, then he leaves and joins his dad coaching, right? Is it in Norway?
Yeah, it didn't work out.
No, but they're gonna hang on, I think, even in the second tier out there.
You know, I think in many ways, I mean, Michael Bradley retiring was a sad, wasn't you know, it was a moment for sure. Mm-hmm. But the way it happened wasn't the way anyone foresaw it, right? In this poisonous room where there's clearly massive disharmony, where he had to see his dad or get forced out by high-paid players. He missed much of the season. And then he says, fuck this, I've just had enough. And he retires. And yeah, they honored him. They honored him. The fans did. I get all that. But it should have been more because, I mean, he became the face of that team, that club. He is the face of that club, even in many ways today, right? He was the guy behind that championship. He provided the identity that team was lacking for so many years. And now he's just gone. Bye. See ya. Thanks for the memories. It's kind of sad, actually. It went that way.
Yeah, that's true. We did have JMO at the press conference, though.
And oh, that was a moment. Yeah. Jeff Nesker's
oh my
JMO
God.
Does the world.
This series of memes that emerged from that.
That might be the highlight of the year for me, JMO becoming viral. It was incredible.
Don't tell his girlfriend. He's viral.
That's it. Oh. Not that kind of viral, okay?
I've got to rearing its ugly head again.
You know, I'm presuming
this is on rearing.
He hasn't got
rearing. I thought it was on head.
That was great, though. But again, that was a statement. I think that press conference that no one knew about because they didn't invite everyone. End of season press conference.
And the delay before it happened.
The delay. And then I think three guys were there in the end.
We have to talk about a little bit of this too, Sharms. At one point, all of us were on the TFC mailing list. At one point, like I used to get TFC, hey, announcements, we're doing a presser, all this. And then all of a sudden, crickets. Hey, when's this press conference? When's this happening?
I'm on it still.
But you didn't get an email.
No, but I wasn't invited to the press conference. And I actually emailed them to ask why. And I'm still waiting to hear why. No,
maybe we have to patch up that relationship. Maybe that's a relationship.
Maybe that could be relationship building. That's our new 2024. That's it. That's our New Year's resolution. Building bridges. And building bridges. Relationships with Toronto FC.
Yep.
So maybe there's another journalist who's named James Sharman and they can only have one, like in The Simpsons, where it's like no homers allowed. You can only have one James Sharman.
Yeah. Only because they know my reputation in the press box is immaculate, unlike the rest of you.
Well, you were talking about
I think Simpsons. You meant to say dickish.
You were talking about building bridges. My favorite Simpsons is when he quits and burns the bridge and then has to reapply to the nuclear power plant and it has to crawl under the it's not applicant but supplicant, and they have a sign he has to crawl his fat ass under to go get his job back. So one of my favorite scenes.
We have to get to footy picks because we have things to do after this podcast, for the podcast, but also some of us have to get out as well, and it's been 50 minutes, so we should probably get moving on. So we get some footy picks.
Yes.
Are you ready?
It's not quite the same like Jimmy here, like dancing.
Oh, yeah, he's always so active holiday edition.
Brought to you by TonyBet.ca.
Happy
Christmas. All right, so TonyBet.ca. All right, so.
Don't go to me first.
Okay, well, let me just start with our supporters. They have provided us with their bet. Let me read actually what they said to us. Where is it? So they submitted the bets and they said, we channeled Goldilocks this week. The first parlay we came up with had a dismal payout. Second was a little too unlikely, so we landed on one that seems just right. They have Wrexham with the win against Newport County. They have Liverpool-Arsenal draw, and they have Leicester beating Rotherham. $5 pays $30. That is our supporters club's TonyBet.ca parlay of the week in footy picks. Okay, to us. Okay, Craig, let's start with you. Where would you like to go?
I like that Wrexham result against Newport.
Yeah, okay. To League Two. Where is Wrexham, by the way, in the table? They're doing pretty well.
They're up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
I'm down to the last episode of the second season. Haven't watched it yet.
I haven't even started.
You're thoroughly enjoying it, right?
It's really, really good. Mm. Yeah, it gathers pace. Starts somewhat slowish, but beautiful life stories showing the soul of the club. But yeah, it's really very, very good.
We should do that for Footy Prime, where we break down where everybody was before Footy Prime, how it all happened, the origin story.
We're all doing so much better. That's the problem.
That's the
where
point.
It all fell apart.
we're good. Life was good. Things are working out for us.
What's the opposite of inspire? That's what we're going to do.
Perspire.
Expire.
No, I know. Sweating our bits.
All right. So we got Wrexham. Craig, thank you very much. Wonga.
I'm going with today's match, if anyone's listening on Friday. We're going to go Villa over Sheffield United.
Damn right, you, fine choice. Steve Chang.
Yes, Steve Chung. It's my other guy.
Good one, Wonger. I like that one.
Thank you.
JC, what are you thinking?
Well, I mean, I don't want to get too crazy here.
Yeah, you do.
Well, I'm going to go, I mean, as much as I don't want to bet on the underdog, I got to go Newcastle over Luton.
Okay.
I think they're due.
Yep, I think it's a good one. Where are the odds for that one? Okay, Newcastle play minus 152.
Yep.
It's Luton. They're on the road there. It's not so bad, actually.
And Luton came out saying he seems to have stabilized, correct?
Tom Lockyer, yeah. He's been sent home. He's gone home. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good.
It's great.
Good news.
Dubs, are you ready now?
No, because the two options just got taken.
Jesus.
What's with the there's no women's league games because they're off for about 3 months, right?
Yeah.
Picking up the league
until the end of January. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's going to be a massive game, Liverpool against Arsenal. There's no way I'm betting on
touch
that.
Don't touch that.
Really?
No chance.
I was thinking the draw would be fun for that one.
It'd be terrible for a Liverpool fan.
I know. At this point, given the injuries and where the way they're playing, I would actually take a draw right now against Arsenal.
And not only that, your Gakpo finally came through. Like, if he gets into that zone, he scored on in the Carabao Cup, right, on Thursday.
Quite yeah, they fun. Smashed Praise West Ham. 5-1, just smashed them.
Yeah, West Ham.
Given up on
embarrassment.
Life. It really was embarrassing. God.
Terrible.
Should I jump in there?
Limp hammers.
Yeah.
I'll take my bet now then. There's something called the Simulated Reality League.
This is great.
In the Prem. I'm going to do this. I'm trying to find a real... Oh, my God. The odds aren't great, though. The best odds you can get here. Favorites, like minus 170. It's not... Oh, and it's on the road, too. Does road form differ in the simulated reality league?
This is just reminding me of the scene in Demolition Man when Sandra Bullock and Sly Stallone have simulated reality sex. Do you guys remember that?
No.
Oh, well, now revisit Demolition Man for
no,
over the
thank
holidays.
You.
Oh, it's quite a good movie.
Is Demolition Man a holiday film?
Yes, because Wesley Snipes in true form, like while he was, and also a cameo by Dennis Leary. So if
really?
Anyone wants to finish Demolition Man, that's
that a Christmas movie?
Wonger's Tony Bett pick of the week.
All right, I'm going to go with Newcastle to beat Luton in the simulated reality league.
Oh, fun.
Minus 170.
I don't understand. Can you explain this to me?
No, I have no idea, Dubs. I imagine a computer sticks all the season stats into its brain and then spits out a most likely scenario.
Yeah. Or is it like the dog at the top of the stairs that's pushing the balls down the stairs, and then if it lands in a Newcastle bin, it's Newcastle.
It could
if it
be
lands
that.
In a Luton bin, it's Luton.
Or the octopus. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, that's something Footy Prize should do.
What,
the ball thing.
not get at all. Us.
That's, I mean, it's something we won't do, but it's something we should do.
No, something we should do. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, come on, Dubs. Give us a freaking okay, one game you've got all right. to choose from.
Yeah, well, Fulham's been scoring lots of goals, and they're at Craven Cottage, so I'm going to go with Fulham over Burnley.
That's a good pick, Dubs. I like that one. That's in the proper, not the simulated, right?
Yes. Real life league.
Okay, good. So we have, let me see this, my bet slip. Okay, so here we go. So decent odds for this one, +685. So $5 will win us $39.
I like that.
All comes through. I'm going to place that bet. Thank you, TonyBet.ca. Bet is placed.
And nice. Instead of a sprinkle, the year on a high. Instead of a sprinkle, we can do a holiday jingle.
Holiday jingle.
But not like this.
We also it's have not to mention, the though, this isn't, you said we want to end on a high. I just went, oh God, I don't know if I can. Oh. When I read about the Vancouver Whitecaps having to play at Starlight Stadium because
there's a home and garden show
in BC place where they could
we're
probably
a football nation. We're a soccer nation.
So
yeah.
On a joke level, I think it actually plays out as cup half full, but I just wanted to bring that up. It was kind of
great.
Who are they playing? Who's their opponent?
Tigres?
I think, it's a Mexican squad, isn't it?
No. Whoever their opponent is, they floated, the Whitecaps did, swapping fixtures.
Oh.
So that then they would have BC Place available, but I mean, I would also refuse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, fuck you guys. Go play at Vancouver Island.
When it was mentioned to finish on a high, I think what was actually said was, let's finish high.
Oh. Okay. So we're all going to take a gummy or a... Yeah.
Everyone get your needle out.
Roll a blunt.
Or that. Yeah, yeah. Okay, listen, we should go because I do have to jump and we've got to do something here. But that's it. That's our last show before Christmas. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas weekend. Enjoy the turkey. Drink too much. Get in a fight with the family. Yeah. Everything you do. The Christmas season. So until the next time, cheers for listening. Oh, footballtv.com/footyprime. Sign up. Lots of games this weekend. Obviously, season. Games.
Festive fixtures. Boxing
Day's amazing.
Fubo. We did it.
Fubo.tv. No, Fubo.com. Or FuboTV.com even.
Yeah.
/footyprime. That's the one.
And thank you to everybody who listens. Thanks for letting us be a part of your lives in some way. Right?
Well, not everyone.
You're such a suck up.
People who listen.
Yeah, but there are some.
I think I'm always amazed that people listen to us. I really am.
Yeah,
so, thank you for listening to us.
It's stunning. Yeah. Honestly, all joking aside, it is stunning. But we love you all. Thank you so much. Because without you, we would never see each other.
We would have absolutely nothing.
A big fat zero.
Yeah. So thank you.
Thank you. We'll see you at some point next week before the new year. And so, please let us know your moments of the year. Everyone, please jump on. We'll do a thread on Footy Prime's Twitter feed. And give us your moments from anything at all. And that will power our show. That means that I don't need to prepare a show. So I would really appreciate it personally. Okay? So until then, cheers for listening and keep buying newspapers.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Beck. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG.
Cheers to Jimmy's holiday sty.
Good. Done.